Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. You know, December usually turns our heads to Christmas shows of the past. Stevie's First Christmas was written by Melinda Maines and was based on one of her memories of her childhood. American Radio Theater presents an original Christmas story, Stevie's First Christmas, written by Melinda Maines. Christmas doesn't seem possible when you have to say goodbye to everything. Sally knows.
Bye, Jody.
Goodbye, Sally.
Goodbye, Keith.
Bye, Sally.
Goodbye, Heather.
Bye, Sally. I wish you could come with us to the holiday party at school tomorrow.
Yes, Sally. Can't you and your family stay here one more night and leave the next day?
I already asked my dad if we could stay, Mike, but his new job is far away in another city, and he has to start work right after New Year's. Dad says we have to leave today so we can get there in time. Anyway, our beds and everything are already in boxes in the big truck.
Sally, come inside now. You have to pick out a couple of things you want to take in the car. The rest will be going with the movers.
Goodbye, everybody. Have fun at the party and have a Merry Christmas.
Bye, Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. How about a picture book or two, Sally? Or a doll for you to play with in the car?
Can I take Teddy?
Sally, Teddy's as big as baby Stevie. He'd need a car seat just like your brother's. Maybe the little mermaid would like to ride with you. What do you think?
Okay. A little mermaid in a book. Goodbye, toys.
Oh, don't be sad, Sally. We'll have a new house when we get to the city where Dad will work, and you'll have a new school and new friends.
I don't want a new house and a new school and new friends.
Is everybody buckled up? Good, let's go.
Oh, Stevie, how sad the house looks with no toys on the grass and the curtains closed. Say goodbye, house.
It'll take us 4 or 5 days to get to the new city.
Does it have an ocean and a beach like here?
No, the city's up in the mountains. It's in the north, so it'll be colder and colder.
Goodbye, ocean. Goodbye, beach. Goodbye, warm sun.
Maybe it will snow.
What snow?
It floats down from the sky like feathers.
It's as soft as flower petals.
It's as cold as ice cream.
It's as white as snow.
Stevie, did you know that snow is like white feathers and flowers and ice cream cones falling out of the sky? Let's look for it. Oh, look, Stevie, the wind's blowing leaves back towards our house. But I don't see any snow. Goodbye, leaves. Oh, Stevie, up in the sky, there's big V's of birds flying away from the cold back towards our house. But I don't see any snow. Wave bye-bye, Stevie. Oh. Goodbye, birds. Stevie, look at all the Christmas lights. See, when we come into town, the lights say Noel. Then when we go out, they say Leon. But I still don't see any snow. Stevie, wave bye-bye to Leon. Goodbye, Leon.
Wake up, Sally. Get your things together. We're going to stay here tonight at the Starlight Motel.
Oh, wake up. Wake up, sleepyhead. Come inside. It's nice and warm. There's two beds, sofa, table, and TV. Everything we need. And guess what, Sally? Tomorrow's Christmas.
Christmas? Oh, where's our tree? Where are the decorations and the stockings? Can Santa Claus find us here?
Don't worry, Sally. Santa will find us.
The decorations are all packed, but I have our stockings. We'll pin Dad's brown sock to the back of the sofa, and then one of my nylons for me, a baby sock for Stevie, and finally one of your red knee socks, Sally. Doesn't that look cheerful?
But what about the tree? This is Stevie's first Christmas. He has to have a tree and decorations.
Well,
it's Christmas Eve. Is anything open?
There's a little store across the street. Let's walk over there and see what they have. Coats on, everybody. Good evening. I know it's a little late, but we're looking for a Christmas tree and decorations.
Well, I got just one tree left. No bigger than your baby there. Hiya, little fella. I'm plumb out of decorations.
Goodbye, Christmas.
Don't be upset, honey. All right, we'll take the tree, some Christmas wrapping paper, a tube of glue, scissors, and that little box of colored pencils.
Yes, sir. There you go, mister, ma'am, little fella, missy, and a Merry Christmas to you all.
Hang up your jacket, Sally, and I'll show you how to make angels. See, I'm cutting four pieces of Christmas paper. Do you know what they are?
I see a skirt, wings, sleeves, and a hat.
Smart girl. Now, all you have to do is draw a face on the white side of the paper and glue the other pieces to it. I'll cut out more angel parts. Mom will put a loop of thread in the back so you can hang the angel on our tree.
I'm going to draw you, Dad, and Mom, too, then Jody and Keith and Heather and Mike. There, Mom, these are all finished.
Oh, they're wonderful, Sally. I'll put thread loops on all of them. But we still need another angel for the tree, I think, and one more for the top.
I'll draw a picture of me for the tree, and baby Stevie can be on the treetop. Now, nobody look, because I'm going to make surprises for everybody. Stevie, you can watch, but don't tell. I'm going to make Christmas cards, Stevie. See, I cut out three square pieces of Christmas paper, and on the white side I print Mom, then on this piece of paper I put Dad, and on this one I write Stevie and draw a big red heart around each name. Watch now, Stevie. On each one I print in big letters, I love you, Sally Foster. Then we fold up the papers and put the cards under the tree. There. Now it really looks like Christmas. See the angels twirling around under the tree? Even the Stevie angel looks happy. But Stevie, can Santa truly find us here in the Starlight Motel?
Wake up, Sally, and see what Santa left.
Oh, Stevie, Santa found us. Look, there's candy in my stocking, and yours has a baby biscuit. What's in your sock, Dad?
Well, I'll be. There is something in there. It feels like...
Oh, take it out.
Yeah, it's a brand new pen.
For your brand new job, clever old elf, that Santa.
What did that clever old elf leave for you, my dear?
For me? Ooh, I feel a big lump in the toe of my stocking.
What is it, Mom? Hurry.
Oh, why, it's a bottle of perfume. Passion flower.
Impeccable taste for an old elf. Why not put some on, dear?
I think I'll do just that.
Oh, Stevie, look, under the tree.
My goodness, a rubber teething ring. Just what little Stevie needs. Now he won't be chewing on your book, Sally. Oh, and look what Santa left for you.
A picture book and a little horse with a comb and ribbons for a mane and tail.
But in my letter to Santa, I asked for a play farm with lots of cows and chickens and pigs.
Maybe for your birthday, honey. Santa's one smart fellow. He found us here, but he knows we don't have much room in the car.
But,
Look, Sally, there's another surprise for you outside.
What is it? Oh, look, Stevie, up in the sky. Mom, Dad, what is it?
Can you guess, Sally?
Something's floating down from the sky like feathers. It's as soft as flower petals and cold as ice cream. It's white as... Hello, Snow!
This has been an ART Christmas special, written by Melinda Maines. In our cast, you heard Pat McNally as Dad, Penny Swanberg as Mom, Melinda Maines as Sally, Renaud LaBeouf as Stevie. Also heard was Julie Hoverson, Joy Jackson, Beverly Poole, and Kim Turner. Sound effects by Marilyn Wilt and Beverly Poole. Directed by Joy Jackson. I'm Cole Hornaday. This is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Vic and Sage was a long-running show, not really a soap opera, not really a sitcom. Here's the episode called The Lodge Brothers Go A-Caroling.
Vic and Sade, Lodge Brothers Go Christmas Caroling. It is early in the evening as our scene opens now, and here in the living room we find Sade and young Rush established on opposite sides of the library table, deep in a game of cards. And as we draw close, we hear Rush saying to his mother,
"You're the old maid again, Mom."
"Looks like I'm the old maid every time."
"Well, 4 times for you, 2 times for me. Deal 'em up."
"I don't think this is a very good game, son. All you do is pick up your cards, sort them out, lay them down again. Not much point to it."
"Oh, my friends and me have a lot of fun playing old maid. The guy that's the old maid has to bend over and grab a hold of his ankles, and then the rest of us take turns hitting him hard as we can with our bare hand."
"I hope you don't plan on doing that to me."
"Oh, no, Mom. I have no intention on hitting you."
"I'm relieved to find that out."
"I know. We could kind of gamble. We could use ice cream for the prize."
"You know I don't hold with gambling, Rush. Even for ice cream."
"Oh, back door. Must be Gov.
Lodge can't be out this soon."
"Heidi, hi, hoity ho! A lodge meeting broke up early because some of the folks are going over to the hospital and sing Christmas carols. I'm going to join them."
"Vic, Christmas carols? You?"
"Well, it seems 3 of the lodge members are patients right now. Bert Wilson's there with a dislocated shoulder, and John Lewis, he's getting treated for his stomach, and Al Freely had his appendix removed at 10 o'clock this morning. We thought we might as well break up the lodge meeting and go over and cheer him up a little."
"Lands, lands."
"Now, as to the location of his overshoes."
"Hall closet, where they always are."
Tell you what you can do, Albert. Run upstairs and get my overshoes. Hall closet, you say, Sade?"
"Yes."
"Rush, take lightning for thy motto. Go."
Okay.
"Vic, it's too late to go traipsing all over tonight."
"Let me tell you my plan. Only 5 members agreed. We're going to go over in the slushy alley in back of the hospital."
"I feel it's my duty to remind you that it's still 2 weeks to Christmas. I wonder if sick people would appreciate it."
"I'm waiting for Ike Niesuffer to pick me up."
"Goodness. Vic, he just croaks."
"Here they are, Gov."
"Ah, thanks a lot, Boxtop. Nevertheless, we will help to swell the merry chorus."
"Mr. Niesuffer is absolutely the worst singer in the world. One time down at the barber shop..."
"Enough, son. Just for that, you can't come along."
"I don't want to come along. If Ike Niesuffer's going to sing, I want to be 40 miles away or more."
"Hot reception my idea gets around home. Bet it was the same with Thomas A. Edison when he invented the steamship. People probably stuck out their tongues and cheeks and rush. Go to the window and see if he's out there.
Who else is going along on this jaunt?
T.V. Abrams.
That man must be 75 years old.
Let me remind you that T.V. was once a vocal soloist on the Jumbo Cross Country Chautauqua.
Probably 40 years ago.
I'll admit that the other two singers aren't so hot either, Hamilton Richards and Charlie Clyde.
Who did you say was in the hospital? I mean, the lodge members, I mean.
Bert Wilson's there for a dislocated shoulder. John Lewis is getting treated for his stomach. And A.L. Freely had his appendix removed at 10 o'clock this morning.
I really wonder if they would appreciate this thing.
That's what I keep thinking about, son.
Let me give you a rundown of the songs I've picked. Cantique de Noot, I imagine. Silent Night, Holy Night, Three Shepherds. I saw a gleaming star in the... may I ask if something is troubling you, Sade?
To think of you singing these songs.
Well, I got a suggestion for a good, lively Christmas carol. It goes like this. Old Santa Claus reindeers are coming over the hill. In a couple of minutes, how they will, our stockings fill. So let us run and jump in bed, pull up the covers over our head, and the reindeers walk with a gentle tread to bring... There he is.
Oh, good. I've got my overshoes on. I'm ready and raring to go.
Have a good time, Vic.
Oh, knock 'em dead, Gov.
Rush, we shouldn't have made fun of him.
You're right, Mom.
But it was a terrible group of singers.
Ike Kneesuffer is absolutely the world's worst singer. One time down at the barbershop, some traveling man was getting a shave, and he was telling about some animal he'd seen in the zoo that made a noise so terrible it set your teeth on edge, and...
I've heard this story a dozen times.
Uh-huh. And Joe the barber bet this guy a dollar he would produce a noise worse than any noise the guy had ever heard before. And Joe got Mr. Kneesuffer... that was getting a haircut to sing Pale Hands I Love Beside the Shalimar. Know what happened?
The guy gave Joe a dollar?
It was so bad that the guy gave Joe a dollar.
I have to admit, I like to sing Christmas carols. I remember doing it as a girl.
You do?
Uh-huh. Used to be such fun. Bunch of us young people pile in a big sleigh and just tear around the country. We'd stop at every farmhouse we come to, and the farmer and his wife come out laughing, invite us inside, and we'd have hot coffee and donuts, and then jump back in the sleigh again and tear off to the next place.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I used to think it was just beautiful to hear boys and girls singing carols on frosty winter nights when you could see your breath. Of course, a good many times I'd come home with my poor toes about ready to drop off from the cold.
You used to be a pretty fair singer, huh, Mom?
Oh, just fair. Nothing special. Could carry a tune was about all.
Telephone ringing. Telephone ringing.
Hello? Oh, yes, Vic. What? No! You're fooling! Oh, my heaven's sakes alive. Well, where, what? All right. Yes, as soon as I can. Yes, Vic. Goodbye.
Gov?
Yes.
Where is he?
In jail.
No.
Yes. Run up and get my coat and hat. And got a tear down there. And Oh, my.
Why is he in jail?
Disturbing the peace. being a public nuisance. Yelling outside the hospital and scaring the patients half to death.
Are all the guys in jail?
The whole five. Say, son.
Yeah?
In a little envelope in my top dresser drawer, get the $10 bill that's there. Gov's fine is $9.08.
Mr. Kneesuffer must have been in fine form. We'd like to have heard that concert ourselves, at a safe distance. And so we take leave of Vic and Sade for today. And don't forget, Vic and Sade at this same time tomorrow. You've been listening to a recreation of a lost old-time radio show, Vic and Sade. The script was originally broadcast on December 10th, 1934. In our cast, you heard Pat McNally as Vic, Marge Lutton as Sade, Joy Jackson as Rush. Sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. I'm Kim Turner, your announcer, and this is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Which concludes our broadcast for the day.
I'm going to sneak another Vic and Zade in here. This one is Lodge Regalia is out on loan.
Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mrs. Victor Gook and her son, Mr. Rush Gook. Sade, who's established in her husband's easy chair beneath the floor lamp, nods over a novel she received as a Christmas present, while young Rush, lying at full length of the davenport, gazes at the ceiling and thinks thoughts. But suddenly, sounds are heard in the kitchen. Listen.
Hey!
In here, Gov!
Your mother home?
Oh, she's asleep.
I am not either.
Well, you look like it.
Is she upstairs?
No. What's the commotion?
Oh, hello, kiddo.
Well, hello. Are you going to...
Well, there's a special lodge meeting called for this evening.
We're playing 500 with Freddie and Ruthie this evening.
Well, that'll have to be called off. L.W. Eakins from the Chicago headquarters is in town. Look, you two guys, you'll have to jump in and help a fellow out.
Oh.
I'll get to wear my regalia and memorize the special ritualistic greeting and everything else. I have to be down at the hall by 4:45. It's almost 4 now. Andy,
yeah?
Hop up from there and stand at attention and be ready to receive orders.
You want me to go up?
I want you to get me my lodge stuff from upstairs.
Uh-huh.
Make a telephone call to Hank Gutstop and dig Volume 7 out of the lodge library, out of the bookcase, and 69 other things. Kiddo, you'll give me a hand too, won't you?
Oh, we've got an engagement with Fred and Ruthie. You know yourself that we do.
Well, that'll have to be canceled. I'm sorry, but it can't be helped.
Well, I'd better phone them right away then. Give them a chance to make other plans.
All right. Goose Cutter, let's not stand around with our teeth in our mouth. Trot along and get that.
Just a second, Vic, until I get through calling Ruthie.
Well, I got no time to waste.
Well, I'm not going to have you fellas plowing around upstairs tearing the house apart. There's stacks of Christmas presents in every single clothes closet. I'm the only one that knows which
belong. Okay, but make it snappy. Rush, get me Volume 7 out of the bookcase.
Okay.
2572X, please. Correct.
I'll have to learn an official greeting by heart. And I have to memorize Hank Gutstop and dictate an official greeting for him to memorize. You can do that.
What's all this that's going on now? What excuse shall I give him?
Look, L.W. Eakins is in town.
Who's he?
Only the major executive of the Chicago headquarters of the Sacred Stars of the...
Hello? Hello, lady. Oh, I bet you were taking a nap.
Here's Volume 7, Gov.
Oh, I'll hand it here.
Oh, now, is that so? Well, Rush and me been doing the same thing. Vic went downtown right after dinner, and just this minute got home.
Look at what I have to memorize.
Yeah?
First paragraph, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my. I'll bet you were. Now, how long they stay?
Run up quick now and get my lodge regalia, all of it.
Well, I should think so.
Boots, sword, tunic, plumed hat, robe.
Your pants aren't available, Gov.
Oh, golly, yes?
What do you mean?
Mom lent it to Tom Hackett.
Happens every time.
Who's Tom Hackett?
Why, the butcher over on Middleton's butcher shop. He needed them to be Santa Claus.
Sade.
Well, and what did Fred think?
Sade.
Hey, a person's trying to talk over the... Excuse me, Ruthie. Vic's trying to say something. Just a second. What's the matter?
Are my lodge pants upstairs?
Well, I suppose they're upstairs if you put them upstairs.
You lent them to Tom Hackett. Don't you remember, Mom?
Oh, golly, that's right. He took the part of Santa Claus, and I said...
Well, if that ain't the finest.
Well, you can drop by and pick him up. His landlady will give him to you.
His landlady can go jump in the lake. I haven't got time to...
Wait till I get through here, Vic. Ruthie's waiting on the wire.
Oh, you may inform Ruthie that I...
Please. Lady, I'm sorry.
Is this what you have to memorize, Guff?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, little frenzied brother of mine.
Oh, sure.
Bring your clutching hands and listen to the call of the golden oriole.
Uh-huh.
And maidens dance in the plashing pool.
What?
And the mischievous tarantella.
Rush, will you be quiet? Both of you be quiet. Say, lady, I better tell you why I phoned. Yeah. We're not going to be able to play 500 this evening? No. Well, you see, it's like this. Vic's Lodge is having a special meeting. Yeah. Some fellow from Chicago's in town, and I guess he's... Who's the fellow, Vic?
Will you get through there and explain about my pants?
I asked you a question. Who's the Chicago fellow?
L.W. Eakins.
He's a big lodge muckety-mucker?
Yes.
He's some man named Mr. Eakins. Some big muckety-muck in the lodge. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, look, this don't make any difference to you and Fred now, does it? Uh-huh. Well, I thought I'd better get in touch with you right away so you could make other plans. Yeah.
Will you make it snappy?
Now, later on in the week will be grand, surely. Oh, you bet. Will you explain it to Fred? Yeah. All right, Ruthie. All right. Bye. Now, there's no call to work yourself into a stew. You can pick up your lodge pants on the way downtown.
I have to dress here.
All right, let Rush trot over after him.
Trot over after him, Rush.
Tom Hackett lives over on North Center Street, don't he, Mom?
I haven't the remotest idea where he...
Don't he, Mom?
Yeah.
Shall I go there first, or shall I go to Smelly Clark's home first?
Smelly Clark's house?
Plumed hat.
Oh, didn't you bring that back?
Uh-uh.
Oh, my.
What's the mystery now?
Well, now, don't jump through the ceiling, but Rush let Smelly Clark take your plumed hat?
Well, you gave me permission, Mom.
Yeah, but I certainly thought you'd use your head enough to get it back.
Rush let Smelly Clark take my plumed hat to do what?
Oh, to use as an ornament on a Christmas tree. See, they wanted something to put on the tippy top of the tree to make it look like...
You may round me up my plumed hat and my lodge robe without another second's delay.
Well, hadn't I better go to...
Go! Say, we'll make a little speech about what I think people who lend out private possessions of others to every half-wit in town.
Well, goodness, I never expected you to need your...
I will make my speech later. Right now, however, I'm very closely pressed for time and would like to ask you to do me a favor.
What is it?
Telephone Hank Gutstop and read him this paragraph. He's supposed to memorize it.
I don't like Hank Gutstop, Vic.
It won't hurt you to call him on the telephone, will it?
Well, I don't like him, and he knows that I don't like him.
So, my own wife won't cooperate with me on a matter of the greatest importance.
What do you want me to tell him?
I want you to read something to him. He'll have a paper and pencil and write as you dictate. Here's the place, right here.
I don't have to read the whole book to him,
just
do I?
Just this paragraph I'm pointing to.
What's that supposed to be?
Regular prescribed official greeting from an exalted Little Dipper to a visiting dignitary. Hank has to memorize it.
Hey!
What's the matter, pray?
Well, this is Greek junk.
Latin junk.
You expect me to make out a bunch of outlandish gibberish stuff?
It's simple as pie. Read it just like you'd read English.
I'll kick over the People's Bank building before I'd try such a thing.
It sounds just like it looks. The first word is hick. H-I-C. Hick. Read it just like you'd read anything else. Here. Hick dignitas apollorum
dum cluck simian hobo who is agricola opque honk dim spittle defeatus in slob dum cornucopia.
I won't do it.
Sadie, surely after lending my lodge pants to a perfect stranger to be Santa Claus and giving my plumed hat to a hyena to put on his Christmas tree, that you won't refuse...
I'll read something in American, but I'll kiss cow before I'll make a ninny out of myself with that Greek junk.
Okay, I'll memorize Hank's greeting. He can memorize my greeting. We'll switch speeches.
Yours printed in American?
Yeah.
Let's see it once.
Right here. O little frenzied brother of mine, bring your clutching hands and listen for the call of the golden oriole as maidens dance by the plashing pool and the mischievous tarantula crawls to...
I'm not going to read that either.
What?
I'm not going to read that either.
Sadie, can it be possible that you...
Imagine me calling that old Hank Gutstop on the telephone and call him pet names and telling him to wring his hands and dance with the girls and...
Mom.
Play in the plashing pool.
Was that Rush?
Huh?
Rush!
Yeah?
He hasn't left the house yet.
Well, I expect that he doesn't...
What's the idea, sir?
Well, I brought you your boot.
My... boot?
Your lodge boot.
Where was it?
In the basement. Oh, I knew it was down there, so I hunted all over the furnace room till I found it. Here you are.
Where's my other boot?
Well, that's the big mystery. I looked every doggone place I knew.
Where is my other boot?
I let Miss Husher have it.
What for?
To hang over the fireplace at Christmas time. It's always been a custom in her family to use boots instead of stockings for Santa Claus to put his presents in.
Tom Hackett has my pants. Smelly Clark has my plumed hat. And Miss Husher has my other boot. Is that correct?
Well, goodness. You didn't give a person warning you wanted everything all at once. If I'd had the slightest inkling, you know
Where's
that I would...
Where's my sword?
Right upstairs in your bottom dresser drawer. All wrapped up nice and ready to use. Shall I go get it?
How about my robe?
Your robe?
My robe.
Charlie Razorscum borrowed it.
And my tunic?
What'd you do with this tunic, Rush?
Well, you sent me over to Miss Brighton's with it.
Oh, she wanted to use it to do that.
Tom Hackett has my pants. Smelly Clark has my plumed hat. Miss Husher has my boot. Charlie Razorscum has my robe. Miss Brighton has my tunic. I haven't much lodge regalia left. I haven't much...
Telephone's ringing.
Yes. The telephone's ringing.
I'll answer it. It's probably Ruthie.
Oh, you don't need to look daggers at me, Gov. I'm not implicated in this.
Hello? Yes? Oh, why, yes, he is. Oh, just a second. It's for you.
Hank Gutstop?
I think so. Yes. It is Hank Gutstop. Recognized his voice.
He wants his official speech. Read it to him.
Oh, Vic, I just can't read that Greek junk over the telephone.
Where's the book?
Vic, I just can't.
Here's the place.
I'll read the American.
Take this.
I'll read about the Maddens and the plashing pool and...
Read what I'm giving you.
Vic, I just can't.
Read.
Oh, Hank, hit... Dignitatis apollorum dum cluximian hobo qui agricola up q hunk dim spittle in slob dum cornucopia itch.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old time radio.
Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
Yes, it's Bing Crosby in the Kraft Music Hall with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Eugenie Baird, the Charioteers, J.
Charles Henderson and Chorus, and in Chicago, the Kraft Choral Group. Consecutive Christmas, Bing has sung a Dusty Fidelis here in the Old Kraft Music Hall. As usual, he'll sing it first in Latin, then with everybody joining him in English.
Surely this year, more people than ever before will want to raise their voices in a chorus of Come All Ye Faithful.
Bing, I think it'd be nice if folks at home would join in too, and folks all over the world.
We're certainly counting on them, Ken. The home folks, wherever they may be, to help us sing this eternal hymn.
Adeste fidelis, laeti triumphantes, venite, venite in Bethlehem. Natum videte, regem
here in the hall, John Scott, Eugenia Baird, the charioteers, Charles Henderson and the chorus, as well as all you men wherever you are and everybody at home all together in your family's favorite key, once through in English. Thank you very much. I think you folks listening at home, you ought to know where we got our wonderful support in the soprano and the contralto departments this evening. We're proud to welcome to the hall more than 100 young ladies from Uncle Sam's Navy. They're on their way to a preview at Paramount Studio where they will witness a flicker dedicated to their own branch of the service, a little item called Here Come the Waves. I know they'll be captivated by the caperings in this picture of my very good friends Betty Hutton and Sonny Tufts, even if they must suffer through the faintly antique antics of one of the older crooners. Just to kind of limber them up gently for this harrowing experience, we've asked them to visit us first. And here they are, they're looking mighty sharp in their navy blue and white. I'm glad it is we are to see them. With those happy harmonists, the charioteers assisting, we'd like to salute our waves here tonight with that merriest of traditional melodies, Jingle Bells. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. What fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. What fun to ride and sing in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells and bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells. All the way. Oh, what fun it is to
dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing and scratching all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirit bright. Oh, what fun to ride and sing sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Oh, we have a lot of fun.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Oh, yeah. That band is really gone, isn't it, Benny?
Oh, it's back in the wagon.
To associate that melody with everything Christmassy. Got to, just as this next character is associated with everything around the pantry. Lay it in there, Jack.
I don't need to tell you ladies that there are just two more days of grocery shopping before the Christmas feasting really begins. But I do want to remind you of something for that grocery list tomorrow morning. It's Kraft cheese spreads for snacks on Saturday night or Christmas Eve, or for appetizers just before the Christmas dinner. Particularly, I want to remind you that the four creamy varieties of Kraft cheese spreads take just two ration points apiece. There's Kraft pimento and olive pimento spreads, the zestful Roca spread, and Kraft relish spread with the bits of pickle all through it. Just set them out in their own glasses, put out some crackers, and snacks are ready. Sometime this weekend, you'll be glad, mighty glad, you remember to get some Kraft cheese spreads.
Our lovely lady with the dulcet delivery, Eugenie Baird, brings us a stardusty ditty now. I Dream of You. Very pretty thing, too.
I dream of you.
One of the season's top tunes, and deservedly so. I think it's number four on Mr. MF's LST. I'm Making Believe.
I'm making believe that you're in my arms, though I know you're so far away. Making believe I'm talking to you. Wish you could hear what I say. I'm here in the gloom of my lonely room. We're dancing like we used to do. making believe is just another way of dreaming. So till my dreams come true, I'll whisper goodnight, turn out the light, and kiss the pillow, making believe it's you. My lonely room, we're dancing like we used to do, making believe is just another way of dreaming, so till my dreams come true, I'll whisper goodnight, turn out the light, kiss the pillow, making believe it's you.
Charioteers come to us tonight laden with a message, thus combining happily entertainment and practical purpose. Knock it, men, right in yonder.
Say, Jack, do you know whose beat to his socks?
Who's that, man?
Nobody but me.
What's the matter, Bub?
Been loading up a tanker all day long. Convoy is supposed to shove off tonight.
You know one thing, Bub? You really talk too much. In fact, your mouth is too big. Now, my advice to you is...
Shh! Don't talk too much. Shh! Don't know too much, Jack. Don't be too hip, cause slip of the lip might sink a ship. Shh! Don't see too much. Shh! Don't jive too much, boy. Don't be too hip, cause slip of the lip might sink a ship.
Now the
walls have ears and the night has eyes. So let's be wise and trick those nasty Nazi spies. Shh! Don't talk too much. Shh! Don't know too much, boy. Don't be too hip, cause slip of the lip might sink a ship. Slip of the lip might sink a ship.
Look out, dipper lip, don't let nothing slip.
Now the walls have ears and the night has eyes. Don't talk too much, shh, don't know too much, boy. Don't be too hip, cause slip of the lip might sink a ship. Don't talk too much, don't know too much, be like King Tut.
Now he won't talk, cause that guy's dead.
So keep your big mouth shut.
Fine, men, very lovely indeed, very clever. One of the most welcome canciones to come up from south of the border is Cuando Vuelva a Tu Lado. Yes, sir, which has been Englished into What a Difference a Day Made.
What a difference a day made. 24 little hours brought the sun and the flowers where there used to be rain. My yesterday was blue, dear. Today I'm part of you, dear. My lonely nights are through, dear. Since you said you were mine, what a difference a day made. There's a rainbow before me. Skies above can't be stormy. Since that moment of bliss, that thrilling kiss, it's heaven when you find romance on your menu. What a difference a day made. dances you. When you find romance on your menu, what a difference a day makes. And the difference is you.
Today we have the pleasure of again welcoming to the Kraft Music Hall a group of visitors who join us each Christmas season, the Kraft Choral Club. A warm feeling of fellowship is the year-round Christmas spirit characteristic of this group of 70 of our co-workers in the Kraft, Chicago offices and factory. Theirs is the finest sort of appreciation of music, for they come together in their rehearsals because of a spontaneous desire to sing. They enjoy knowing, too, that they are part of an organization dedicated to comradeship of this kind. This Christmastide, the Kraft Choral Club, under the direction of Lou Jacobson, brings us Henry Fry's distinguished arrangement of Beautiful Savior, a Christmas anthem based on a traditional folk melody, the Kraft Choral Club. Choral Club gives us now the beautiful and thoughtful poem by Florence Tarr, set to music by Peter DeRose, God is Ever Beside Me.
Thank you.
best wishes to the Kraft Choral Group. And my eager associate is standing here practically a quiver at my elbow. He wants to inject a few happy holiday suggestions into your menus. Right in there,
Thank you. Tomorrow night or Saturday or Christmas Eve when you're trimming the tree, somebody's almost sure to drop in at your house. Somebody you'd like to serve a cup of coffee or some refreshment along with a snack. Well, then be sure to order some of the 7 delicious Kraft cheese spreads tomorrow morning. A few glasses of Kraft cheese spreads, set out with some crackers or potato chips, and your snacks are ready in a twinkling. What with all the holiday buying, I suppose that point budget of yours is strained. So I want to mention in passing that 4 grand varieties of Kraft cheese spreads take just 2 points apiece. They're the perfect appetizer spreads. Pimento, olive pimento, roca, and relish. All creamy in texture, all delicious. Now, that grocery list for tomorrow's shopping is long, I know. So it'd be a smart idea to make a note on it right now. Just jot down Kraft cheese spreads. The folks will be mighty glad you remembered.
Ah, gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please have a look at our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month, and it's listed on the front page. For the others, you'll need to click on the podcast button. Hey, thanks for listening, and see you next time.